The clearing where we decided to perform the ritual was pretty nondescript as clearings go. It was only about 20 feet across at best, and it was surrounded by a mix of elder spruce trees and pine trees, and there's a dense lower canopy of shrubs, and it creates a dense curtain around us as we stand in the middle. One side of the clearing is pressed up against the side of a dramatic mountain, and the shape of the mountain brings the currents of the air down into the forest, and the trees are always gently moving. The air smells fresh and clean and distinctly of the forest, and it has a bit of a chill due to the time of the year it is, but it's comfortable. It's the kind of weather that makes you wonder if you should bring a sweater, and it doesn't really matter what you decide. You're wrong. I'm a bit hesitant to be out here, if I am completely honest with you. I know the pandemic has been hard on both of us. You can only fuck so many times before the days start to run together. It forced us to get creative, though, and it didn't take us long to find some new exciting things to try. You were there. I'll spare you the details. I think things got a little hard for me to stomach, though, when... You know I can get a little bit squeamish at some of your more extreme ideas. We've talked about it extensively, so you always know where my lines are, and I'm just so lucky that I know you would never really put me in a position where I would really be hurt. At least not in a heartbreaking, long-term kind of way. And that's why I was willing to give you the benefit of a doubt when you brought this idea to the table. I'm painfully, deeply familiar with how dark some of your fantasies are. I have my own dark fantasies, and that's why we work so well together, babe. We're both kind of spooky freaks, in the best of ways, though. I can't fucking believe you want to watch me fucking undead beast, though. Frankly, I suppose I should not be surprised. We've both watched a lot of hentai. But it's just, like, a really oddly specific thing, you know? Has to be undead. Yup. Has to be a beast. For sure. It has to fuck me? Yeah, that's kind of the whole point, babe. You want to see me ruined. It's not like you haven't been trying. So I get it. It's the book, though, that I am really not into. Like, I understand. I get it. Like, it's neat, I guess. But, babe, I'm pretty sure it's bound in humans, you know. It gives me the worst creeps. I haven't had a good dream since you brought it home. And I'm really not trying to be paranoid or ruin your good time, but it scares me. And you know I don't really scare easily. I recognize that gleam in your eye, though. And every time you have that look, it's, if I'm being completely honest, the results have been fantastic for me. And I know you wouldn't ask me to do something that you didn't think I could handle, or at least get some sort of enjoyment out of, even if it's just seeing you with that satisfied grin. You're a fucking monster, baby. I love it. So here we are, in the woods, at night, under the new moon. and it's the darkest I've ever seen it. We shut our flashlights off for just a moment, and after our eyes adjust, we can see all the stars twinkling in the sky in the space over the clearing. And they really do look beautiful when you aren't in the city. I wasn't really sure what to wear. Between the weather and your plans, you told me that you would have more of an idea of what you would need from me when we got here, but you've been pretty quiet as you're flipping through your book and you're starting to prepare the space. We had brought a bag of items and a couple blankets, because they always come in handy, and you take the bag and I take the blankets. You move into the center of the clearing, and I find myself a small boulder to lean up against, and I watch you while you work. I'm trying to keep myself amped up as I see you bring out a large jar of dirt, some candles and some things I don't even recognize, some very shiny rocks that I didn't even know we owned. It looks like one is carved into the shape of a crow skull, and I make a mental note to take a closer look at it when this is all over. Part of me quietly hopes that this is all garbage. Like, the book gives me really bad chills, and it has the weirdest vibe to it. And I find myself shaking my head, reminding myself that I'm being silly. It's just a book with a weirdly soft cover. It seems to always be warm. I swear this one time I touched it, it felt like it had a heartbeat. But it might just be the darkness getting to me. You know, I'm a bit of a baby when it comes to the dark, and I just don't deal with it very well. The woods have come alive in the time that we've been out here, and you can hear the sounds of owls and small mammals. Busy insects have a unique sound if you listen for it at night. And I'm listening for them. And then I hear this strange, high-pitched, guttural screaming coming from the darkness as you light the first candle. And I feel my blood run cold and sharp tingles run down my spine. Your head jerks up at the scream too, and then you're glancing at me with this weird, reassuring smile. Kind of sounds like a bobcat, huh? I have to be honest. With the way the candlelight is illuminating you from below in the darkness, you look fucking terrifying. And that look that I usually find in you, it's different tonight. You're hungry in a different kind of way that I just have never seen before. When you grin wider, I'm reminded of a wolf from the fairy tales. It's not hard to miss that I'm scared of you.
Babe, don't worry. I'm gonna make you something way scarier than a bobcat.
I know. You know that laugh isn't reassuring in any sort of way, and I am suddenly way more annoyed with you than I am afraid. I'm doing this for you. I would think that you would at least be a little grateful. It's a 20-minute walk back to the car in the dark when none of this works. Hopefully you get it out of your system. I really hate that it feels like you're enjoying how uncomfortable I am, because you know it's playing on a lot of my anxieties. I'm assuming that after some hand-waving, a little bit of rough Latin, you'll pretend that you're the monster that you keep threatening me with, and this is secretly some sort of messed-up setup that you've cooked up to make it more exciting. It wouldn't be the first time, and we both know it. I'm excited for you, don't get me wrong. Anytime you set something up, I'm dripping. You're really good at keeping me excited, babe. That's why I tolerated the walk in. That's why I take my sweater off. Too hot, by the way. And my comfy lined leggings when you ask me to. And then I realize the night air is a bit cooler than I expected, and my skin prickles under it as I shiver. The hair on the back of my neck has been on end since the animal scream, but I feel myself relax a little bit as you slip your hand behind my head, and you pull me close for a kiss, and you steal my breath away just a little bit. You love doing that.
Stand in the middle of the circle for me, okay, babe?
I'm a bit distracted by the kiss, so I just take a deep breath and then nod and do as I'm told. I'm sure we'll be fucking soon enough, and I make a mental note to tell you to grab the blankets when it happens. For comfort, of course. The needles from the trees are already digging into the soles of my feet, and I know they're going to rip my back up when it comes to that part. I hate dealing with the aftercare, if I'm completely honest. It's really hard to wear a nice top when your back is mangled. So blanket for comfort. I position myself in the middle of the circle of candles and rocks and dirt and other items. And I'm not really worried about it. We're finally at the good part, and I am ready for it. My cunt is almost uncomfortable with how wet it is in anticipation, and the cold air has made my nipples hard and sensitive while I wait and watch you. I wrap my arms around my tits to keep warm while you begin to chant, and from the little bit of Latin that I know, it doesn't sound like Latin. I want to say it got spooky and scary immediately. How cool would that have been if it were like in the movies where the wind rises up and then it howls and the candles flare and like some real fantasy nerd shit, you know? I kind of want to make a joke that you failed your skill roll, and I only hold it back because you're still very into the chanting and I really want to make sure you get the full experience. If I'm completely honest, we've all had this really weird thing that just makes us feel so dumb and foolish. Remember the pie incident? I'm so sorry again. My bad. But I want you to make the most of this. I'm really excited for you to come at me once you're done talking. A more attentive person would have noticed the smell as it started to creep in from the edges of the clearing. Deep ground kind of smell, like a compost. A less stupid person would have noticed how the wind had stopped and the woods had suddenly become very silent. Although, fucking bobcat screams again, and I suddenly notice that the silence and the earth smell, and I'm looking at you. Your face has changed in a way that's really hard to explain. Malevolent isn't really the right word, but calculated. Like, you're staring right into everything you lay your eyes on, and you're perceiving it in the most practical of ways. I think I've seen it once or twice when you set up board games. It's really hard to explain. And then it's when I notice the ground on the outside of the circle is writhing. And it's so hard to explain because it's not the ground that's moving. It's small animals or something moving through the grass. Like rats, but not rats. Rats would make more noise. With the darkness, it's really quite hard to see. And the ring of candles makes it even harder for me to see into the darkness beyond them. Fucking new moon creepy ass bullshit from a fucking bullshit creepy ass book. I am trying to remember where you said you got it from. I feel sick to my stomach and I find myself sinking to my knees, the sheer terror of it. I don't really feel chilled anymore, probably because my blood is cold. And I watch the scene in front of me come together and I let out a low moan of fear. as it starts to form. The lumps, mounds, animals, things. I don't even know. If I could see better, I could explain better, but they wriggle across the ground, form a shapeless mass, and then they start to gather, and through the candlelight I can see they start to form more details. Doesn't make sense to me. I can see deer skulls and hunks of fur and bone, bark and horns and branches. Some of it looks sludgy, and I think if I wasn't so fascinated by the horror of it, I would be sick to my stomach just due to the sound of it. Squelching. It's the only way to describe it. There's a lot going on, and I'm struggling to take in all of the details. Dumb girl problems. I'm trapped in the theater of it all, a bit mesmerized, honestly. You are still chanting, but it's getting softer, and there's a more familiar light in your eyes again, and as this creature takes its full form, you finish chanting, and you close the book to appraise your work before you look back at me with a really excited grin. I slump onto the ground, and I sit in the circle you centered, and I'm a bit dazed by what I'm looking at. My eyes dart from you to the creature, and I finally start to process what exactly is standing in front of me, besides you. I want to say it looks almost humanoid, in a rough way. At least, it's at least a head taller than you, and a foot wider at the shoulders by my poor dumb estimation. And its torso is thick, and so are its arms. Its hips are wide. It's kind of a thick thing in a monster sort of way. The thing that really makes him almost regal, though, is that his head is topped with at least three different mismatched set of antlers that become this massive crown that runs down its back, and it adds bulk to its already considerable form. Its face itself is a moose skull, and it's ringed with fur around the edges where it meets the neck, and there's a dull purple light in the dark hollows of the eye holes. It has a rough mane of fur around its neck and down its chest where its hide becomes shorter. As it steps into the candlelight, its hooves are rustling the leaves and the ground cover. I can see its hide is a patched together form of a variety of hides. I don't even want to begin trying to name them all, but clearly the mane is made of a dense canine type fur, and the rest of the body seems to be made more of deer pelts. It's all skins, I realize. Patched together to cover its form. I gasp as I take in more details. The whole body seems to be patched together in small chunks, but it's furry, nonetheless, and from a distance you could never really tell. Lucky for me, he steps closer, and then into the circle, and I'm scrambling back a bit before I look over to you, and you have a shit-eating grin on your face. And I can see the bulge in your pants from where I'm sitting, stunned in horror.
So my buddy found this book at a flea market, and it has some pretty neat things in it. I think this thing's pretty neat. I'm gonna call him Monty, I think.
Monty Monster. Cute, right? You pause to let me speak. I'm just gaping, and I find my eyes darting from you back to this thing.
It's just some low-level necromancy, babe. Basically, I use some magic to gather up a bunch of material.
Is that what you would call it?
Basically old body parts. I thought it was going to be full limbs, though.
You laugh at that thought, and Monty takes another step towards me, and I finally break from the fear, and I let out a low, shuddering moan, and then take a slow breath in to calm my panic. As fucked up as this all is, I trust you. And you seem ecstatic. I haven't seen this much excitement in your eyes since... well, a couple weeks ago, but that's not the point. When I see it, I know things are about to get messy. As I take in the rest of this beast, you're going on about all the thoughtful considerations you put into creating this thing. How he's designed for stamina, and how the antlers give me lots of places to grab onto if it comes to that. You look really proud of yourself when you describe the intentions you put into designing the cock. Monty takes another step towards me, and I can finally see in the candlelight. It's large. A chungus, really, if you will, with a swell part of the way down in the middle of the shaft. It's awfully long, and I cringe internally thinking about how it's going to rearrange my insides. I can't help but register that it's also considerably thicker than anything. Well, I guess a baseball bat is thicker. But not by much. Maybe an inch, if that. I can't think of anything to do besides shift onto my knees as Monty finally stands before me, about a foot away, and it finally clicks. I understand that shit-eating grin on your face now. I have this bad habit of writing checks that... it's not that I can't pay them, but I only have one form of currency with you, right? I'll have to pay with my mouth, and my pussy, and my ass, if we have time. You always make time, though. Fuck me and my stupid fucking mouth. Taking in Monty's cock in a closer view now, I can see the whole shaft is mottled like a horse cock, and it looks to have this velvety texture that seems more or less velvety. It's the various patches, though. The patch lines between are different colors, which would suggest, if you think about it, they're from different... I shudder, and I close my eyes to force the idea away. It looks sanitary enough, and I have this disgusting curiosity to find out how the different patches feel in a variety of ways. I look up to catch your eyes, and you can tell that I've finally gotten into it. I have always talked about the monster fucking thing, almost as if it's a joke. It's something that's pretty hard to deliver on, but now that there's one standing in front of me, and I can actually take this idea seriously. Fuck yes, I want to fuck a monster. Are you fucking kidding me? I had been imagining that if things did go well, you were going to turn all evil and then we would just never come back. I was pretty sure the whole thing was going to fail, though. And I feel so bad for doubting you now. And I am happy to put on a show for you. But I'm just a bit more excited to make it a really good show now. Just for you. I feel a shiver run up my spine as Monty takes that half step closer to me. And then you're beside me, stroking my cheek. And then running your hand into my hair to get a firm grip on me. And you're smiling at me as I lock eyes with you and open my mouth eagerly. I let my tongue hang out, unsure how this is about to go. And then my mouth is stuffed. And I'm trying to adjust my jaw around a bit wider. I can only stretch so far. And I have a lot more to accommodate. I know. Fuck, this is going to be so much fun. Monty thrusts the head of his cock slowly into my mouth, giving me a chance to lick at him and adapt to breathing through my nose. Up close, he smells earthy and like the forest, and I can smell the trees as well. And you, as you keep my head steady, taking in the show in front of you. I'm trying to work my lips open further, and I can't help but get a bit lost in the weird textures of all the patches. And I realize that it feels and tastes like mushrooms. And I consider what it could taste like. Mushroom is fine. I can work with mushroom. As the head works in and out of my mouth, my lips pop on the ridge and I'm making a weird smacking noise and I feel a bit silly, but it feels so good and I am loving the texture and the pain in my jaw every time he thrusts a little further into my mouth and the swelling starts to stretch my jaw more. It feels like my jaw could pop, but it doesn't. Luckily, this monster cock seems to be a bit softer in general, which helps when it comes to accommodating him, and when I realize that I'm not really at a risk of potentially needing medical attention, I close my eyes and I let my head fall under your control, allowing you to work me up and down the monster shaft as Monty thrusts in a bit of a mindless way. I moan around it as I get lost in the sensations, and I gasp for breath when you pull me all the way off now and then. I've been trying to focus on opening up my throat, and I'm starting to doubt that I can get anywhere close to taking it all. You're already pushing my limit, and we both know that. But we persevere. That's the point, isn't it? To find our limits and push them just a little bit further, just to figure out where we end. So we keep going. And I keep trying to open my throat further and take him deeper, and you're jerking me back and forth more violently, keeping me pressed down for longer and longer as we work it into me. The drool and froth from my throat and the friction of it is dripping down my chin and onto my tits, down my chest. When you pull me off, I cough up more, but I try to keep it on Monty's cock. No point in wasting good lube. I've been using my hands for a bit to help me support the shaft, but I stray one of my hands to you where I can see your bulge, and I rub at you, trying to pull at your waistband. You slap my hand away, pulling me off Monty's cock, letting me finally stop for a moment, gasping for breath and trying to wipe some of the drool away. But my eyes are filled with this weird lust, and you don't even let me clean myself off before your tongue is in my mouth and we're kissing deeply as Monty looms over us, waiting. As we taste each other, you pull me up off my feet, and then you pull me close to embrace me. Your hands work down my body, and they feel hot in the chill of the night, and I can feel you warm my skin a bit. I didn't even realize I was feeling so cool. Then you're pushing me away and pulling me to bend over, and your cock is in my mouth now. And I'm back into the action of sucking and licking. I'm familiar with you, and I know all the right things to do, and I get to work. I've somehow forgotten Monty entirely. It's a nasty trick you play on me then. You're slamming into the back of my throat almost with ease after Monty's package, but you're still more than enough for me to choke on, and it's when you have me swallowing you deep that Monty thrusts into me hard, deep, and rough, and I'm screaming into you and fighting against your hips to get free at the shock of the surprise. It's making me try to jerk away in an instinctive kind of way. The smartest thing to do would be to let me scream freely. And you do. Gripping my arms to support me as I let out a slightly less ragged scream. But still. It becomes a sob as Monty backs himself out of me, and then a shriek as he shoves into me again. You're helping me stand and letting me lean into you a bit as I try to accommodate the abomination that's starting to speed up and plow into me. It doesn't take long for me to come, so full and getting fuller. I squeeze down on the swell of his cock and babble through it, overwhelmed by everything. I can feel a clawed hand of some kind on my hips, and he's starting to pull me against him as he goes deeper, and you slowly move to pull back from me a bit. I let out a small moan of fear and cling to you, struggling to keep myself upright, and you let me grab onto your hips for support, And then you're pulling my mouth onto your cock again, and I'm sucking on you, letting out small moans and sobs and gasps as I'm thrust between the both of you. My pussy is making the sloppiest wet sounds, and at a certain point, I feel myself release and squirt from the brutality of one hard thrust from Monty, and I bury your cock into the back of my throat as I try to hide my face in your pelvis from the ecstasy of it all. I'm making horrible gagging noises, though, and it doesn't take long for you to pull me off of you to cough and gasp for air, moaning as your pet monster keeps thrusting into me at a solid, brutal pace, tearing into me a bit as he goes. I have tears streaming down my cheeks from the gagging and the tear-inducing orgasms. As you support me with one arm, you wipe the tears away from my face with the other hand, caressing my cheek, and as you pull my chin up so I can meet your eyes, I sob at the intensity of it and melt into you as another brutal orgasm rips through me. And you're telling me how fucking hot I look, how I'm doing such a good job, and you knew I'd be able to handle it. You say you love the sounds I'm making, and you're brushing the hair back from my face, and you're kissing me again, forcing the angle of my body to change, and I'm gasping and whining at the new sensations, the new points of contact that Monty's making as he thrusts into me. It feels like I'll be split in two if he keeps jamming into me like that. It's past the point where I can comfortably stretch to accommodate him without a bit of pain, and every thrust is forcing me to let out yelps of pain that turn into moans of pleasure as he pulls out, and the ridges of the head of his cock rib over all of the most sensitive points in my cunt. I quiver around him, not really sure how much more I can take of this brutal assault on my body. It honestly feels like he might hit my lungs. The cock is rearranging me in such an extreme way. Sore is the worst way to describe how I'm going to feel. Maybe obliterated is closer? You're still supporting me and you're holding me tight as I scream out another orgasm, and your hands are wandering over my tits and my body, and you make soothing sounds as you watch intently, and I let one hand wrap around your cock to stroke you. Maybe it all ends when you come. Then Monty is pulling out of me, and the intensity of the emptiness is making me moan and drop to my knees again, unable to stop myself from shaking. I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to feel normal again. This stretching has been so fucking hard on me. You join me on the ground then, pulling me tight and kissing me hard, passionately, before you're letting me return to gasping from the experience. Don't get me wrong. I'm feeling amazing. In a torn up, overwhelmed, messy way. My body is covered in sweat, and my pussy feels like it's swampy with the wetness of it. I'm swollen and sensitive from the brutality of it all, and I can feel wet all down my legs and up my ass crack. I would be embarrassed if I wasn't still dealing with the occasional tremor running through my body from the ecstasy of it all. You caress my head, and you run your hands down my body, giving me time to collect myself while you comfort me. The claws of your creation have left some long scratches on my stomach and hips and on my back and my ass as well. Really big hands. Kind of gnarly scratches. I haven't even really registered the pain yet. Luckily, they haven't drawn blood. They're more just scratched off the top few layers of skin, I suppose. Like a rug burn, really. Your fingers over them are gentle and soothing. You get up quickly to grab one of the blankets and then lay it down on the ground in front of me, before holding a hand out to help me crawl off the forest litter. The soles of my feet feel ripped up, and my knees are roughed up as well. I cringe a bit as I crawl into the blanket, and I give you a tired smile before letting out a tiny plead as I flop down onto my side. Have I done everything right, baby? Are you happy? Can I be done now, babe? I'm so tired.
Hi. I just want to say thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to whatever this was. I've been working on it for quite a while, and it felt nice to finally get it out. And I just appreciate you taking the time to listen all the way to the end. I hope you're having a great day. And oh, the story doesn't actually end at that point. Actually, it's a bit longer. You can check out my profile for information on that. Anyway, have a great day. Thank you. Bye.